Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to share an abiding moment, and hopefully we get enough time to cover it all. If not, don't forget we're two programs back-to-back, and we may continue this in the next program. But, you know, a lot of people want to be blessed and have a blessed life. And listen, I am 100% for
all
that.
All for it.
Because, you know, what do you mean you want a blessed life? Well, I don't want a cursed life, I can tell you that. I want a blessed life. And if you're a son and a daughter of the King, my goodness, be blessed. But we got to define what being blessed means, too. Because a lot of people have all types of different definitions to be blessed. Like, if you live in America, you're blessed, okay, period. Blessed, all right? So doesn't mean, you know, a shiny Cadillac. It just means you're blessed. There's favor on you. But there's an expectation for us as children of the light, as believers, as Christians, who have been entrusted with everything to act shrewdly, resourcefully, and with some trustworthiness. Because, you know, with that understanding, you know, we serve God. We serve the Master. He's the one who's blessed us, and God wants us to grow in that. And Jesus shares a parable with the disciples that I think is just so interesting. I love just, you know, reading the Gospels and listening to how Jesus puts these truths, complex truths at times, in a story, and it makes it in a way that we can understand and gives us an analogy, if you will, to help break down this truth. And he talks about how a rich man had a manager who was wasting his possessions. And so the rich man comes up to his manager and says, "Dude, what are you doing?" You know, paraphrase here.
Is that what it says?
Paraphrase. It's a JIV, John-inspired version. But he says, "You're wasting my possessions. And you're going to have to give an account. You can't be the manager any longer." And so, you know, very interesting. You're going to give an account. You're in trouble. And so the manager says, "My goodness," and for the sake of time, I'm paraphrasing, says, "You know, I can't dig. I'm too lazy to dig. I'm too prideful to beg. I better find something to do here because I'm, you know, I'm in trouble. My time is limited." And the word manager means one who controls, one who handles or directs business or enterprises, one who manages or controls resources and expenditures. And so with this man, the fire was lit up underneath him, this manager, and he decided to call in all of the rich man's debtors and starts cutting their bills in half. You know, you owe 10 bushels, write your bill, make it 5. You owe 100, you know, bags of rice, make it 50, you know. And again, we're just, for the sake of time, just kind of giving some paraphrases here. But you get the idea. The idea is that he began to act business. He began to do things. And all of a sudden, the rich man comes back and says, commend this dishonest manager, because the manager didn't, you know, he's just start slicing stuff up, you know. It's a sale. It's a sale today. You're getting everything. It's got to go. And but he commends him. And you're like, okay, what is all this about? And he commends him for acting shrewdly. And you got to understand that, you know, shrewdly means to sharp, intelligent, quick, creative. You know, maybe some would say streetwise, you know, in a way, you know, like he was on it. He jumped on the situation and he started making things happen, and he didn't just sit there and lie there. And oftentimes there's a notion that you can just sit there. You can just, you know, I'm saved and pennies from heaven and things are just going to happen in my life and God loves me and everything's going to be good. But no, that's not the case. Yeah, God does love you. But God wants you to develop as an individual, as a person, as a son, as a daughter. He wants you to learn to be resourceful. He wants you to exercise the gifts that he's given to you. He wants you to be on it, with it. Because he even says, it's a shame, basically, that the world knows how to deal with the world more shrewdly than the people of the light. And we're not supposed to be naive. We're supposed to be involved, engaged in the things of God. We're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. We're supposed to be with it, if you will. And we must prove trustworthiness. And I mean, think about it. One of the qualifications for a church leader is that he manage his family well. 1 Timothy 3:4. And if he can't, then he doesn't need to manage the church, right? And so it's important that you learn to be a good manager. Well, you can't manage things, careers, jobs, finances, others, until you first learn how to manage yourself. You know what I mean? You got to learn how to manage yourself. Mm-hmm. Every single thing in life is an entrustment. And I think that we do people a disservice, even our children, when we just kind of give them everything, or people having an idea that it was by their own bootstraps that they've earned it. And so they have this expectation, especially in the West, in America, that I deserve this and I deserve that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And it's like, why don't we just back up a little bit and say, hey, your purpose in life is to know God, to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? Mm-hmm. And to live a life that is fruitful and in love with him and that produces him glory. Everything else that happens after that is just a cherry on top. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So you're not living for something else. You're living for the glory of God. So if he gives you a position, a career, it's the position and career that he gave you. And for what purpose? For you to bring him glory there. Guess what the bonus is? A paycheck. You know what I mean? If God brings you into a home, what a blessing. We have a place to live. We're not in the cold. And what do you do with that? You bring glory to God in your home. You honor God with your home. If you're blessed to have a family and children, well, those are basic things. Well, how many people today can't have children? Well, some take it for granted. How many people today are homeless? And some people are complaining about the 2,000 square foot house that they have today. You know, how many people don't have a job mm-hmm. and are unemployed and can't feed their family? And some are kicking and just refusing to go to work and hate the job that they're presently at. You see, God wants to help us. The things of God are not built by the strength of men, mm-hmm. but they're built, you know, with God. And they're built with man who has God on the inside of them, those that walk in unity with the Lord. And when we walk with God, he wants us to advance his kingdom in the hearts of men. But he doesn't have a plan B. He uses us, believers. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be about the Father's business. But if we're about our own business, how can we be about the Father's business? God wants us to be trustworthiness. He wants us to be resourceful. He wants us to be equipped so that he can use us, so that he can bring us from one place to the next place to the next place. Oftentimes people want a promotion, but they're not willing to do what they need to do in the place that God has them in order for them to be blessed. Mm-hmm. We want to encourage you today, and we're going to pick this up in the next program, that there are things that you can do to enjoy a blessed and a fruitful life. It starts with taking inventory. It starts with you having the perspective of, you know what, every single thing I have, God has given me, and I'm going to use it for his glory. And if I prove faithful right where I'm at, then God can bring me to the next place. But we want to continue our conversation about the secrets to being a blessed life, or mm-hmm. how to live a blessed life. You know, it's not really a secret, because we're going to tell you, and it wasn't a secret back then because Jesus told the disciples plainly. But we talked about the parable of the shrewd manager. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a manager for a rich man, and basically he was wasting the rich man's possession. And the rich man says, dude, you're going to have to give an account for this, for my stuff here. You're wasting my possessions, and you can no longer be manager.
Wow.
And so, I don't know if he was being terminated or his employment was being terminated. But something was going down right here. Mm-hmm. And instantly this guy kicks into, you know, the mode that he should have been all along, handling business. All of a sudden, some fire gets kicked up, you know, for him. And he says, let me do some quick thinking here. I'm too lazy to dig a hole, and I'm too proud to beg. I better go do something so when I lose everything, I can have favor with people. And he starts basically cutting down all these bills of all the debtors that, you know, owed money to his rich boss. So he's cutting these bills in half. Rich guy comes back and says, basically, you know, this is a dishonest dude here. He's, you know, cutting off my money and stuff, but I got to commend you for something. I got to commend you. And he's like, there's something good to say in all this? Wait a minute. What did I miss here? He says, you acted so shrewdly. I mean, granted that, you know, in the last several years you did nothing and you wasted my possessions and now, but in this moment here, you rose to the occasion and you decided to move creatively, instinctively, with purpose, intentionality, resourcefulness, and you made it happen. And I need to commend that. Because the Bible says, it continues to say that the world acts more shrewdly with each other than people of the light do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an expectation, I believe, that God gives us as believers not to just sit around and wait for things to happen, but we're the children of the light. God wants us to be influencers in the world that we live in. He wants us to be sharp with it to the best that we can. I mean, we serve him, right? Everything we have comes from him. So whatever we lack, if we lack wisdom, the Bible says we can freely ask for it. If we can't do something, you know, that we don't, God can give us grace, supernatural enablement to empower us to do what we cannot do on our own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God can impart and give us knowledge where we don't have any knowledge.
Right.
So God can do everything if we just cry out and ask him to do it. So he's blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. I mean, we're equipped. We just have to act on that, on what he's given us. And so there's an expectation to be resourceful and to prove trustworthiness. Because here's the deal. Here's I guess, the secret, if you will. God allows things to come into our lives, and it's almost like everything that he allows to come into our life is a test. It's like everything is an entrustment, and he's watching, he's seeing, because God sees everything, and he, well, does God really care about that? Well, the Bible says that every one of your hairs are numbered, that two birds don't fall out of the sky outside of his will, not outside of his knowing, but outside of his will. He's aware of everything. So, yeah, I would say that he takes notice of your life. And so he's looking to see how, because he wants to bless. His desire is to bless his children. I mean, if you who are evil want to bless your child and give them the very best, how much more does the Father in heaven want to bless his own children? And so God wants to bless us and bring us into a spacious land.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And help us to be fruitful, right? Because our life is about bringing him glory.
Mm-hmm.
So he's looking to see, okay, I've entrusted this person with this. What are they doing with it? And I think a lot of times, if people are sitting around on the blessings of God, God has blessed them so much that they're adding their miseries on a calculator, but counting God's blessings on their hand. And they're taking for granted the blessings of the Lord in their life as just something they've done, something they deserve, instead of saying that, you know what, I'm gonna be appreciative for what I have, I'm gonna be trustworthy with what I have, and then as you know, I continue to be faithful, maybe God will bless me with more, and he will, like Jabez, extend my tent and give me some more things for me to manage and to do. And so this is interesting. The word God says in Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted, right, with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth. Who will trust you with true riches? I mean, the truth is that if you can't tithe on 50 cents, you're not going to tithe on $5 million. Believe me, you're not going to do it.
No.
I mean, it's interesting how the issue wasn't the quantity. Because he says, listen, if you're faithful with a little, it's not how much you have. If you have proven faithfulness, if you have proven trustworthiness, it's something in your character that's already on the inside of you. So whether I give you $100 or $1 million, because that character in your life has been developed in such a way with God, I know that you're going to do the right thing. Well, God's looking to see, has that been developed? Has that matured in your life? Right. But he also knows, I can't bless you with a million. I can't bless you with any, because you squander 25 cents. You squander 50 cents, whatever it is. You just lose it all. You give it all. And you think about it. You know, I was talking to my sons the other night about this. It's like, you know, God has a bucket of blessing he wants to pour out. He's looking over the banister of heaven saying, who can I bless? Who can I give this to? He's like, oh, no, the last time I gave this person this job, they complained about that job and they didn't even show up and they said they were a Christian and no, I can't bless them right there because they're going to continue to do the same thing they were doing there. And then when I gave this person a promotion, they didn't even come back. They didn't even want to fellowship with the rest of the body anymore. I didn't even see them anymore. And sometimes people, they position themselves where they cannot be blessed anymore.
Right.
And I shared a message one time called, Can You Stand to Be Blessed? Mm-hmm. Because although many believers want a blessed life, many people can't handle a blessed life. Now, you remember that guy that we met who was super wealthy, and he said, and one of the things I remember, this is a multi-Forrest Gump millionaire dude.
Oh, that
yeah.
guy, yeah.
I remember he said, with great wealth comes great responsibility. Mm. And that thing just hit me, because this guy had millions and millions of dollars, and he realized that I'm going to be held accountable for these millions and millions of dollars. Sure. Mm-hmm. And I got to account to God one day, what did I do with this stuff? Yeah. So he says, with great wealth comes great responsibility. You're not going to know what to do with it. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about how you can stand to be blessed and what you can do so that God can bless your life. You can be fruitful and bring him glory. But we're talking about, you know, trustworthiness, being shrewd, being with it, if you will, for the kingdom of God, being on it and not falling asleep in the blessings of the Lord, and to be one who's able to give an account before God for what he's given us and what we've done with it. And we want to encourage you today to maximize the moment that you have. I mean, the Bible tells us that life is but a vapor. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And you really never know. I mean, I think it was Leonard Ravenhill who said, you know, tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. All you and I have is today. And so what are we doing with today? What are we doing with the life? And in Luke 16:12 says, and you who have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Who will give you property of your own? I mean, listen, it sounds so fundamental and sounds so basic, but there are many grown people today that are not blessed. They cannot move into the blessings of the Lord because they've never learned this in their life. You know, listen, God has so much more for us. He has so many things he wants to bring us to. Mm-hmm. There's so many things he wants to do in your life. I mean, Jeremiah 29:11 says he has a plan for your life, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope in the future. But before he can bring you into that future, there's things that have to develop in your life. It's a thing called process, character development, so that when you get the blessing, you're not lost in the blessing. Mm-hmm. And because that's the big blessing, you know, because we had everyday blessing and people were getting lost in like 2-inch blessing. You know what I mean? Like God has the mother load here waiting for you, but you can't handle the 2-inch blessing. You're drowning in it. And we want to talk about how you can stand to be blessed. Oftentimes people are not blessed, not because God doesn't want to give it to them. It's just, they simply cannot handle it. They simply cannot handle it, and they've proven that they weren't trustworthy with the other stuff that he's given them before in the past.
Yeah, and it's just like that in itself is just like how much God values where they are presently, because they're with him, and God loves them so much that he won't give that blessing to them because he doesn't want to lose them.
Think about this. All right. Some people only know God in their struggle and in their poverty, and that's the only way that they can know God, because that's when they pray. That's when they cry out. Right. That's when they read their Bible. That's when it's like, aren't you tired of searching God only when there's trouble in your life? But as soon as the trouble leaves, as soon as the blessing leaves, it's amazing how you'll let God to leave from your grasp. You know, and I'm like, it'd be like Jacob. You know, I'm not going to leave till you bless me, but I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to hold on to this blessing because I'm going to hold on to you. I want to keep you in my life. I want to keep you as the forefront. It's not about this thing. It's not about the blessing, but more about the blesser.
Right.
And so we want to encourage you that you can make that decision today to say, it's okay for me to be shrewd. It's okay for me to have character developed in my life. I want to bring glory to the Lord, and I'm going to be faithful here. You know, oftentimes people can't be faithful where they're at because they're looking at some other field, some other place. And it's like, that other place is never going to materialize in your life until you first handle what's in front of you. And it's so important. It's so important because he doesn't want you to get lost in the sauce, if you will. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, where are you?
Well, it's just like what you're talking about before, talking about the hairs in your head that are numbered. You know, God cares about the small things, and he sees those that are faithful with the small things, because so often, you know, what I hear is the fact that oftentimes we can get caught up in the hand of God, and God gives and his blessings, and it's just like the heart of God is so much greater than the hand of God. And when you focus on his heart and who God is, it doesn't matter what his hand gives you, because you're with God.
That's right.
And I think about that story of, you know, David. And when God called David, he was faithful with the small things. He was faithful with his father's sheep. And even when he was anointed and called, hey, you're going to be king, he was like, okay.
He didn't leave the sheep and look for a crown. He didn't go to a crown shop.
He wasn't all of a sudden like, all right, cool, where's my robe? I'm out of here. I'm done with this sheep thing. He was so content with just being faithful with where he was. And he knew that it was God. It was like, okay, if God found me, God's going to do what God's going to do. And just like you're saying, that's such a powerful statement to say, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one that holds it. And it's just like when you have that encounter, and it's just like it just doesn't matter, because God knows what he knows, and he knows what I need and the timing that I need it. And it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's just like I just want to know him more.
And you can look that in the life of David. He goes to the battlefield to bring a couple sandwiches to his brother, listen to his father. And one of the brothers is like, hey, where are the sheep? Are you taking care of your job? Where are the sheep?
Yeah.
David's like, don't worry about that. I got that covered. I've been having that covered, you know? And you look at what happened to Joseph. I mean, Joseph goes from being a prisoner, a prisoner, to managing the whole place, the prison, right? And then what? Being able, brought into second command, you know, in all of Egypt. But the first thing, before he could be a manager, you know, in the prison, he had to first manage himself. He first had to get this character development in his life to do the things when no one else was looking, when you're doing things for the eyes of one. That's when you know that the trustworthiness is being developed in your life, because you're not looking for a tip. You're not looking for a compliment. You're not looking for an attaboy or an attagirl. You're doing it because you know that God is watching and you want to bring him glory, that you're doing it to his glory. Once you've captured that in your life, I mean, it's beautiful. There's no such thing as a mundane act.
Right.
Because everything that you do, if you're sweeping the floor, you're sweeping it to the glory of God. You're being trustworthy in that job. If you're cutting the grass, you're cutting it to the glory of God. If you're administering in a hospital, you're administering to the glory of God. If you're managing a mechanic shop, you're doing it for the glory. Whatever it is you're doing it with excellence because you know that you want to serve God that way. And Colossians says, do your work as if you're doing it to the Lord.
And there's such a peace in that when you're not doing it for someone to recognize it. Because there's so many, I know personally, before I came to know the Lord, you get caught up in that, and it's just like you're held to that awareness of just like, did they see it? Did anybody say anything? And the powerful thing is, though, when you recognize, like you're saying, that when you do it for the eyes of one, for the eyes of God, he sees everything.
That's right.
And you know, it's just like there's that day, it's just like, you know what, I just live my life for you, and only you.
And the principle is that what is done in secret for the eyes of God, God himself will reward in public. But if you try to seek the reward in public, God can't do it. See, if you let God do his job.
Yeah.
What's done in secret is always by God rewarded publicly.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program where we're keeping the conversation light.